All right. I'm going to have the ushers come by here in just a moment. Jock, would you go help, please? I'm going to have the ushers come by here and start handing out Faith Promise cards. I told you that we would do that this week today. And if you got some? Okay, good. All right. And I'd like everyone to take one. And we'll get to that in just a little bit here, all right? But while you're doing that, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28 and also 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Matthew 28 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Find your places there. We'll read a couple passages of Scripture. And this afternoon, I want to talk to you about faith and the Great Commission. Faith and the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18, familiar passage, will not take a lot of time to dissect and break all of this down. You're very familiar with the truths and the principles contained in this passage of Scripture, but let's read it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Turn over, hold your place here, and then turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we've been in this portion of Scripture over the last few weeks. I want to direct your attention again, just like last week, to verses 15 and 16. Paul writes here to the church at Corinth, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. The whole plan of God as it relates to mankind is saturated with the need for faith. And we spoke much on this last week, how faith is the root or the anchor really of everything in the Christian life. It begins with faith, it operates through faith, it ends in faith. And so everything related to God and to humankind is saturated with the need for faith, and everything that has anything to do with man's relationship to God has faith as its foundation, as its focus. That includes the spiritual endeavors of a New Testament church. It needs to have faith as its foundation, as its premise. And there's a lot of things that we do in the Christian life and in the name of the Lord, a lot of things that require doing and serving. But still, believing will of necessity always precede anything that is of any worthy endeavor or act of Christian service. There has to be an element of belief and faith before there can be a worthy action in involvement in the work of the Lord. And so we're going to talk again on the subject of faith, but faith and the Great Commission. First of all, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we see the definition of our commission. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, that means authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now Jesus is transferring his authority to his New Testament church, and so he says, Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he says, And lo, behold me, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The definition of our commission. Well, what is it exactly? It's pretty simple. It's pretty basic. Jesus Christ has given us the command as his New Testament church to accomplish a task. And that task is essentially make disciples, make converts, baptize them, and then train them to be Christ's disciples. In a nutshell, that's what it is, and certainly it involves many things. the whole teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, that's a lifelong process, no doubt, in discipleship. And so it involves many things, but the commission itself is pretty simple. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, it says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. At the core, it's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's really the definition of our commission. And maybe we don't have any trouble understanding or defining what that commission is, but perhaps the more difficult question is, how do we accomplish that? How do we do what God has given us to do? And even in that, though, the Lord has not left us without instructions or without understanding. And so we see the definition of our commission, but secondly, I want to consider the mobilization of our commission. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All power." Again, that's the Greek word exousia. It means authority. "Is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now I'm giving you my authority to do what? To, as you go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Make disciples. Make converts. If you look over at Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus says here, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see the word power there again in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but it's not the same word as in Matthew 28, 18. In Matthew 28, 18, it's the word authority. Exousia, but here the word power, that's translated power, is dunamis. It means ability. And so what do we find about the Great Commission? Not only do we have the authority from Jesus Christ, but then we also have ability from Jesus Christ to do what He's commanded us to do. Look in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 and verse 15. "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we have authority to preach, we have the dunamis ability, and we have the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, the mission of our commission is simply to preach Jesus Christ and the gospel to all nations. Does that seem as though it's an impossible task? Yeah, it does. And humanly speaking, it is impossible. There's no possible way for me and for you to go to every part of this world, to speak to every single person, and to preach the gospel. It's not humanly possible. But that's not what how God has planned things or left it. We have the responsibility to, but God's also given us a plan. And if we look at it simply as, well, that's not a possibility, that's not a possible thing, we might lose sight of the fact that God has commanded us to be devoted to this task. And so if we're going to accomplish our commission that Christ has given to us, the saints of God, first of all, need to be devoted to that work. We don't have much time. And so we need to be devoted to the work that Christ has given to us. We need to, as saints of God and members of a New Testament church, because that's the to whom Christ gave the commission, was to His churches. We need to make it a priority of our life, our purpose, to be devoted to the work of Christ. You know, Paul and other New Testament preachers, other saints of God in the New Testament, they were willing to lay down their lives for the preaching and the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would venture to say that that is an indication of real devotion to the cause, willing to lay down their life. And look with me in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, look at verse 12. We'll read down through verse 21. Paul says, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Talking about his persecutions and trials and so on, he says, I want you to understand that those things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul says that the afflictions and his arrest and his imprisonment and his trial, his bonds, all of those things have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. And he said that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It really doesn't matter as long as Christ is magnified in my body, whether that's death or whether that's life. Paul clearly demonstrating devotion to the work of the Lord. And you know, maybe we're not called upon to suffer a martyr's death, and maybe we're not called upon to suffer persecution. But I wonder if we're called upon to set some things aside that are weights, maybe that sin, that our sin, that hinder the work of the Lord through us, that God wants to use us to do. Maybe it's a matter of being more devoted to the work of the Lord, so that, listen, the work of the Lord has a much higher priority than the temporal things of life. And do we get to the point and to the place where the work of God and the things of God become so much more important and so much more precious to me that I'm willing to sacrifice and part with some temporal pleasure, some temporal things? They don't really mean that much to me, but the work of the Lord does. That's why Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. What? Meaning that there is no other use of my life. There is no other purpose of my life. There's no other pleasure of my life than Christ, than serving Christ. It's devotion. We need to make it a priority. Missions and the work of the Lord. Is it a priority in your life? So in order to accomplish what God has given us to do, the commission that Christ has given us to do, number one, the saints need to be devoted to the work. But number two, the saints need to be involved in the work. We need to be willing to work. We need to be willing to labor. In Jerusalem, when persecution came and scattered that first church, you know that it was the church members who went everywhere preaching the message of salvation through Christ. They had a mind to work. It was a priority in their life. They were involved in the process of commission work. The Lord gave that commission to His churches, but churches function through their members. Amen? How involved are you in the work? How involved are you in missions and evangelism? The saints of God need to be involved. If there's no one working, if there's no one laboring, then it's not going to get done. We need to be devoted. It needs to be a priority. We need to be involved. But thirdly, the saints need to be informed of the work. How is God's work accomplished? How can this commission be accomplished? God hasn't given us an impossible commission, although it may seem to be. In and of our flesh it is, but not with the Lord. God's plan works through addition and multiplication. How does that happen? Well, disciples. We go and we make disciples. And the Lord adds to the church such as should be saved, all right? And so disciples are added to the churches. And then through discipleship, God calls and sent out, and then it begins to multiply by starting new churches, at which time the process begins all over again. It's addition and multiplication. Souls are saved. They're added to the body. The body sends out and multiplies itself to start new churches, and the process starts all over again. Those churches begin to win souls who are added to the body, who are trained and discipled, and God calls, and then they send out to multiply themselves, and the process starts again. Souls are saved and added to the body, etc., etc. It's addition and multiplication. And God's plan is a perfect plan. Amen? God has devised a masterful plan, but it can only be accomplished through God's power and through God's wisdom. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're talking about faith and the Great Commission. The definition of our commission, well, we know what it is. The mobilization of our commission, it's got to be through God's power. He's given authority and ability, but it involves the saints of God being devoted and being involved and in being informed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, we see, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Paul says we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, and God has made us able ministers of the gospel. In John chapter 15, in verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And so the mobilization to our commission is that the saints of God need to be devoted. They need to be involved. We need to be informed of the work. God's plan is addition and multiplication, but ultimately it can only be done through his power. And he said, I've given you authority and I've given ability through me. Thirdly, let's talk about the fulfillment of our commission. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll spend the rest of our time here briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The fulfillment of our commission. In verse 15 again, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Paul was preaching the gospel there in Corinth, and a ready ministry. But Paul says here that when the church at Corinth, when their faith was increased, that Paul would be enabled and enlarged to be able to go farther with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God enables and God leads his servants in doing the work of the Great Commission, but it has to be rooted in faith. The Apostle Paul here wrote that he would be enabled in gospel ministry when the Corinthian church experienced an increase in their faith. What is the implication? The implication is that there's more that God wants to do, but it can only be done when God's people grow in their faith. There's room for growth in our faith, amen? There's more that can be done, maybe not by our measure, maybe not by our sufficiency, but our sufficiency is of God and His work and His enabling. And when the church experiences, when Plaque Road Baptist Church experiences an increase in our faith, there's going to be enabling of the gospel to move farther. How do we go into all the world and preach the gospel? Trusting in the power of God, growing in our faith. That involves our giving. It involves our giving. And we've been talking about faith, promise, missions, giving. Giving to missions through the faith, promise, plan. What does it involve? Well, really, it involves the church, God's people, seeing the need. As members of Plaque Road Baptist Church, we need to have a burden. We need to see the need. That there are souls that need to be saved. That there are people who've never heard the gospel. We see the need. It burdens our heart. What can we do by the power of God to be obedient to what God's given us to do? It involves God's people seeing the need, but then secondly, it involves God's people being surrendered to the cause. I see the need. I see that there are souls that need to be saved. It burdens my heart. What is my responsibility? To be surrendered to the cause. What is my part in fulfilling the Great Commission? I can't necessarily go everywhere and preach the gospel. But physically, I can influence the sphere of people around me. I can be a voice for righteousness. I can be a witness for Jesus Christ in the sphere of influence around me. But what about the regions beyond? Well, there's more that I can do by faith in my giving. See the need, the souls of men. Be surrendered to the cause that I have a part in this. And then thirdly, seeking God's will as to how heavily each of us can be involved in the work that God has given us to do. Faith Promise Missions is simply, Lord, I want to do my part. Lord, you've given this command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, I want to be faithful to you on every level that I can be. I want to be a witness for you where I'm at. Lord, I want to do my part in the regions beyond. What would you have me to do? And Lord, I'm going to trust you to provide. And I'm going to trust you with this, that you'll provide, that I can give it back to you, and I'm going to trust that you're going to increase my faith. We give. The faith promise plan is giving, but it's not a pledge. It's not a pledge, but it's prayerful promise after seeking the will of God. I've given you some cards and you've gotten those, and we'll look at those in just a second. But you know what? It's not just a matter of just writing down a number and I'm just going to give this because, I can fit it into my budget. It's not a matter of writing down a number. I'm going to pledge this and I know that someone's going to come by and collect it, so I need to make sure that I give it. No, it's a prayerful promise after seeking the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I trust you to provide for my needs? Lord, can I trust you to bring this together so that the work of the Lord can move forward? Lord, would you lay a number on my heart and give me a goal, and I'm going to trust you by faith. We give not by pledge, but by prayerful promise. After seeking God's will, we fulfill our promise and our commitment to the Lord, not necessarily by personal discipline, but by commitment of faith. And then we grow in our giving, not necessarily by increased sacrifice, although there may be some sacrifice involved. I don't know what the Lord's plan is. And it's not necessarily growing in our giving by increased substance. Although the Lord may increase the substance on purpose to provide for the need so that you can give it to the Lord. But really, it's according to faith's measure and God's gracious giving so that we can in turn give it back to Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we saw this principle of God's grace producing grace a few weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Why could they be gracious in their giving? Why could they be liberal in their giving when they were in a deep trial of affliction? When they were in deep poverty? Only because of the grace of God. Amen? And he says, "For to their power or ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or ability, they were willing of themselves." How were they able? Because of the grace of God. And so we give according to faith's measure and God's gracious giving to us. And they really believed chapter 9 and verse 6. Look at chapter 9 and verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." It was God's grace, it was God's provision, God's enabling, and the faith on the part of these people that allowed them and caused them to be able to give graciously. These become good examples of surrendered saints. That's really what we need to be, is surrendered saints. To see the need, to surrender to the cause, to seek God's will as to our involvement. And these become good examples of surrendered saints that really can give us an example and inspiration in our missionary endeavor for the Lord Jesus Christ, to fulfill what He's given us to do. Faith in the Great Commission. It can't be done without faith. Amen? Now you have in your hand there a faith promise card. And basically, how this works is you can see on the card, "Independence upon God, over the next year I will endeavor to give the amount noted below to the missionary work of our church." We're going to systematically give to missions so that the gospel can move into the regions beyond. And you see my promised amount in a space for a line. Underneath that you see, "How often will you be giving?" Circle one. Weekly, monthly, biweekly, annually. That's between you and the Lord. But as we systematically give according to the direction and the leading of the Lord, God is going to increase the endeavor and the effort of Plaquemine Baptist Church in bringing and getting the gospel into the regions beyond. And then it says, "What is your age group?" You don't necessarily have to fill that out if you don't want to. It's fine. But I promise by faith to give X number of dollars to missions this year. Now, don't write anything down right now. What we need to do is we need to go and we need to seek the Lord. We're going to have a few weeks to pray and ask the Lord, "Lord, what part do you want me to play? Lord, what do you want me to give?" I'm not necessarily going to go and look through my budget. What can I afford to give? I'm not necessarily going to plan it all out, but I'm going to seek the Lord. Lord, what is your will? Lord, lay a number on my heart. And then I'm going to endeavor by faith to see the Lord provide. And so we're going to have a few weeks to pray and seek the Lord. As the Lord begins to lay it on your heart, what your part is, what He wants you to do, as the Lord, as you come to that conclusion, as we have offerings on Sundays, just put your faith promise card in the offering. Fold it up. Don't write your name on it. No one needs to know. Just fold it up and throw it in the offering basket. And we'll collect them over the next few weeks, and we'll see what God is doing and what God intends to do through faith of Plaque Road Baptist Church. I know that there's opportunity here. For number one, a church's missions account and ability to increase. But number two, there's all kinds of opportunity for God to work individually to increase our faith. Lord, what is my part? What can I do? This doesn't really mean much, but I've heard people testify many times, actually, of the fact that they really trusted the Lord and they really were going to apply this in their life. Lord, I really want an answer from you. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it was a big step of faith for them. But they were determined that they were going to trust the Lord. And they sought the Lord. And they committed to the Lord. And several different occasions, people have testified of the fact that I didn't know where it was going to come from, but I committed it to the Lord. And you know what the Lord did for me this week? I got a bonus, or I got something in the mail, and it was for the exact amount that I had committed to the Lord. Like I said, that may not mean very much, but I know it meant a lot to them, that they trusted the Lord, and the Lord provided, and their faith was increased. We have an opportunity to have our own faith increased, and to see what the Lord will do, and what can we do through faith and giving that the gospel would move forward. This is a way for all of us to be involved. And next week, maybe I'll share, in fact I will, Lord willing, share with you, the church, what our church has given to missions over the last couple of years. And that's a good thing to see. What are we doing in the way of finances? What are we doing in the way of giving to missions so that we can support other men and that we can send people out to the field to preach the gospel? What are we doing? It's a good thing for the church to know. And are we increasing in our faith? Is God increasing our ability, enlarging our abilities? As the Apostle Paul said, I'll be enlarged by you when your faith is increased. And so we need to be devoted to the work. We need to be involved in the work on every level. We need to be informed that it's by faith. We need to see the need, that there are souls. We need to surrender to the cause, that I have a part in all of this, and we need to seek God's will. What would you have me to do? All right, so take a couple of weeks as the Lord lays it on your heart. Put it in the offering plate. We'll collect it, and then we'll talk again, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would enable us, Lord, to, number one, to be useful in the work of the Lord. Lord, that you'd help us to see that we all have a responsibility as members of a New Testament church, this body. You've given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That means that we need to use the resources that you have given to us. And it's not just about all of our efforts. It's rooted in faith and in your power and in your might. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith. Lord, that you'd enlarge our areas and our borders and enlarge our abilities to send the gospel forward, that it might go into the regions beyond. And Lord, that you'd be glorified in it. Use us to bring glory to the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.